Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and it is a pleasure, as always, to be here with you on this beautiful fall day. A lot of people are saying it's not quite fall, but it is in Arizona. I mean, it's below 100 degrees. That's fall. So we're happy campers here. Tonight's guest is Denny Norris. She had a meeting right before this and is going to be calling in. So I'm going to talk for a little bit till I get in touch with her or she calls in. So basically what's going on is there has been a huge shift in energy. I don't know if you have felt it like I have, but it's like a breath of fresh air. Maybe it's the fall air as well, but, you know, we had a new moon recently that was very, very powerful. There was a lot of great things that happened this past week, and it just literally things are lightening up for a lot of people. And there's, you know, where the fog was there, the fog has been lifted. So it is really great to have this kind of great energy going on. So things are just moving along. There are some things that are coming up that are really powerful. We still have 11-11 is coming up. 10-10 is another big day. Anything that really is a double number, it really will be huge. 11-11, especially since it's 11-11-11, that's going to be another big, huge shift that is going to make things even lighter. A lot of people are now seeing directly what they're supposed to be doing. They're getting more of a clear picture, and they're having more energy to do it. There is a little bit of a slowdown, but basically things are clearing up to really open things up and help you really move forward. It is really awesome to finally have this breath of fresh air to kind of, you know, it's just been so heavy lately. I don't know about you, but I've just been kind of like in a slump for several months, and then all of a sudden it was just like there was, the light switch was turned on, and it was awesome to finally feel such a great relief this last week. A lot of people felt the shift is very much a jolting action, but it got them out of this kind of slumber. There's a lot of things still going on. I myself am still kind of cleaning up and cleaning out. It is interesting how I really am literally cleaning out the house in a big way and cleaning out my life and taking definitely a very strong control of the direction I'm going, whereas before it was kind of lollygagging and saying, I'm not sure what I should be doing, what should I do next, and then all of a sudden it's like I got a clue, and it's like definitely moving forward. So if you have any comments on what this last week and anything that is going on, you are welcome to call in while we wait for Denny to come on the air. And just, you know, this show is as much yours as it is mine. So please call in. The number is 888-815-9756. Like I said, right now, there is a lot of wonderful things. In fact, Denny's book is Dessert First. So if you have any of your favorite desserts that you want to tell me about, or your favorite thing to really treat yourself, we'll get started with that as well. The energy and everything that is happening is really making me look back at some of the basic steps that got me where I am and really appreciating the foundation that I've built over the years and pulling out some of the books from the authors that got me started. For me, the first person that really got me on my spirituality path that really made me look at what I was doing and the path to clear it up was Denise Lynn. She is Native American. She has been teaching spirituality for, 20, 25 years probably. And she has had some horrific experiences. She was beaten and left for dead at a very early age. She's also dealt with cancer. And she has written a book about all her experiences in such a way that was very enlightening and really brought focus to really appreciate being a woman and really appreciate that everybody has a certain path, certain lessons that they've learned along the way. There is a lot of wonderful people that are out there that are really helping us get onto our path, and I really want to take a little time just to say thank you to all of them. There are so many. Louise Hay is another one that really, she really looked at her life and has moved forward. And even early in her career, she took on very challenging aspects, being very much abused as a child. And then later on, she, when the HIV and the AIDS first started, she started the first really support group that was huge, and really embraced them and tried them to help them deal with what was a very new phenomena. Wayne Dreyer is another one that has really taken the towel and really made you focus on the now and really appreciating the path of so many wise people before and now. He really has made me, at least, appreciate the people that came before me and understand that they're the forefathers, that we all have a very special connection with them. And if you do past life regression, a lot of times you have connections with certain people because they really have touched your life. They resonate. Their message really resonates. And their energy is with you because we are one. And their message, their path is very similar to yours. So it's very easy to really grasp onto those. But now is the time to grasp onto the whole new you. Everything that came before has never had the energy or the opportunities or the grand celebration that we are now beginning to really live in and be blessed with. Things now are becoming very easier for you if you don't buy the fear, if you don't buy the negative attitudes. If you have one of those moments, and I have them, every once in a while, I'll just start crying for no reason, and it's like, I'm really going to miss X, Y, and Z. And it's just the experience, and it's just, I let it out, let it flow, and just let it go. It's not completely gone. It's just, you gotta let go of it so you can grow, so you have more room for more blessings coming in. And it's the type of blessings that may be shifting. A lot of people are writing about simplifying your life and really being present to what's really important. Family, friends, relationships, more so with yourself and your higher self, your lower self. Those are all really fundamental relationships that a lot of times we think outside ourselves and don't bring it in. Today I was very, very lucky and went over and was talking to someone who actually has been on the show as well. And Dana Coyle has helped me in so many ways. And she and I got together today and we kind of bounce ideas back and forth of what we're going through. Because if somebody suddenly, you know, reappears in your life, there's a reason. And it's even just to get a little acknowledgement that, yes, you lived when at one time you were invisible. Now it's real. And during this conversation with Dana today, it was really seeing how the different perspectives and how you really need to see literally through the other person's eyes to understand what they're feeling in the relationship and how things are. Communication is great. But if you're really living in your heart and the energy the way it is, telepathic communication is huge. It's waking up. Soon you will just think of someone and you can have a complete conversation. It's an awesome experience. If you haven't had it, it's a little freaky at first, but once you get used to it, you will understand that you really are talking to him. That's why it's really cool if you want to let go of a situation or a relationship. Writing a letter and reading it aloud is literally telling them subconsciously or to their higher self that the agreement is done. You thank them, you bless them, and a lot of times many people just burn it. They burn the letter and let go of the situation. It's a great way of healing things, but it doesn't mean you're not going to still learn from that relationship. And discernment is coming very, very clear. Integrity is huge now. The four agreements is a very basic thing to have in the back of your mind at all time. And it really speaks to being true to yourself, really being honest in everything. Oh, and I am now being told that our guest is here. Hello, Dana. I'm sorry, I'm talking about Dana. This is Denny. Hello, Denny. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great. How are you doing?
It's awesome to have you here. I haven't really introduced you, so let me introduce a little bit about you, and then I'll be right back, unless you want to tell us about you. All I've said is that you've
got
a
beautiful... Go right ahead.
Okay, I shall do that then. Denny Norris is a writer and a coach. She has an extensive business background, and she has combined her quick wit edge to serve throughout her sales career. She finally got a little tired of it after doing for so many years. She wanted to spend more time with her daughter, so she decided to start her own business. Her mission now is to share her message with others, and she does it in a very lighthearted and a compelling way that empowers to attract everything that inspires and fulfills you in the most beautiful way and help you to get rid of what drains you and leaves you lifeless. And that's what her book is about. She is a dynamic speaker. She is a public speaker. She has a women's group up in Phoenix, Arizona. She does one-to-one as well. Get in touch with her website, DennyMorris.com. And, Denny, thank you so much for being on the show. It's really an honor and a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, did I miss anything in the intro? I know it's kind of quick.
Wow, is there anything? You did that very well.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. Now I live up to that.
The book basically is about some of your experiences and the realizations you've come along the way of what really is good for you and what you really need to throw away or, as you put them, let go of the bricks, get rid of the bricks.
Yes, that's right. My tagline on my book is, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. So I think that's really the starting place a lot of times for us. We get so caught up in our day-to-day and just our routine and what we get used to becomes our normal, isn't always what's best for us. But we get so caught up in that because it's familiar that we don't step out of the boat into the unknown. We don't take those risks to go and find far greater things than we have. Mm-hmm. So we just stay kind of stuck. And that's kind of what was happening with my life. And what I did was really step out of the boat, took on the people, getting rid of the things, and sometimes it is the people that we need to take a look at in our lives that are draining us. I call them the energy vampires, that they just really kind of suck the life out of you. So, and it's just taking all that on and just getting a fresh new start, and really we get to create our new life. And we can do that at any point in our life. And sometimes we think we can't.
Right. Let's go back to something you said about the energy vampires. A lot of times they don't even realize what they're doing, do they?
I don't think they ever really realize it because they're in a place in their life. They're really grasping. They get so caught up in the misery. And there's a part in my book where I talk about that, about really being addicted to your own misery. And not only do you have your own misery, but what makes you feel the most comfortable is bringing other people down with you instead of trying to bring yourself back up. When you're in that place, a lot of times you don't know how and you don't even realize you're there. So you're right. They don't realize it.
And is there anything really you can say or do to people who really are stuck in this mindset to kind of shake it up? So maybe down the line, once they realize what they're doing, they can, you know, be a friend again? Or do you basically have to say, it's been nice, thanks so much, love you, gotta go, bye-bye? Have you ever had success in trying to shake them up and make them realize what they're doing?
Absolutely, absolutely. First, I bring it to their attention. Some people truly aren't aware of it. Once they're aware of it, and I like to say awareness is a great thing and an awful thing at the same time. With awareness comes responsibility. So
Right. Once
you're aware of something, now it's an actual literal choice. You have a choice to take the steps and make the changes, which I can help them with if they want to. If they want to be different, I can help them get there. So now that you're aware of it, it becomes an actual conscious choice of whether you want to change and be different or whether you want to stay there. If they choose to stay there, then I have the choice of having them as part of my life or not. Then that's my choice because they're perfect the way they are no matter what. That's their choice.
Right.
Then I have the choice of being there or not. So what I'll do is walk them through the steps if they really do want to get out of it. Then I walk them through the steps of doing that. And you can.
So,
anyone can.
Yes, it's definitely, it's very interesting that I have had a lot of success also trying to help people realize what they're doing. But I've also had some that kind of slip back in the old habits. And have you ever had that experience to the point that you just had to say, you know, this just isn't working? Or have you had more success where they finally got a clue and didn't do it?
I've had both. I have to say both. And I've actually had friends that I have walked away from. I have had some come back and really want to be different. I've also had friends that I have removed from my life, and they haven't come back. And I've offered the awareness and the do you want to change, and some of them don't. Some of them don't.
Well, we don't have to put it so bluntly.
some of them don't want to.
So through this book, okay, that is our section. What else? I mean, basically you talk about you're walking around cleaning up things and you notice that you collected a lot of bricks, and then you finally realize you needed to get rid of the bricks because in a sense you really didn't need them anymore. You weren't going to use them. They were just piling up. And you're basically using that as a metaphor for things and people in your life situations, correct?
Yes.
As well as the physical bricks.
Yes, I literally had the pile of bricks as I talked about in my book, and I did literally remove them one by one, and it was really and just an amazing lesson for myself when they were cleared. And how I realize how much that I do that and other people do that in their lives, have these things that are just hanging around for I might use them someday. And this can be people or things. And So I say to literally go through your things. One of the things sometimes in a seminar I would use is I'll say, go home and clean out a drawer. Just go clean out one drawer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one step. Because everything is by steps. We have to take one step at a time. And so it doesn't happen overnight. No changes take place usually overnight. It's a step, and it's taking one step at a time and knowing you don't have to have the entire plan all at once. Just one step at a time.
That's, you know, that's a very simple plan, easy to move forward with. Do you feel with the energy that's going on right now that basically a lot of people are cleaning out a lot of bricks these days?
Oh, I think more than ever before. Yes. I, in my women's group, I talk about that a lot, and I have women come up to me afterwards, after I've spoken, they tell me their stories about their getting rid of the bricks, cleaning out. It is. I think people are really making, there's a shift taking place, I think, in the world all over, that people are really rethinking how they want their lives to be, both with the people in their lives and literally the things that they're doing.
So after they really start cleaning things out and they start lightening up, and as the process goes along, you always say after that you need to treat yourself, or even sometimes treat yourself before just to get you motivated to do it, because it is,
well, and,
you know.
And
go
what
on.
Is the name of the book? Dessert First. And dessert first is a play on words. It's not about food, but it really truly is about rewarding ourselves and taking time for the things that are important in relationships and the things that we want to do. Having the dessert first, because the other things that we need to take care of, that have to be taken care of, we will find the time to make those happen, but oftentimes we don't take the time to reward ourselves. But sometimes it's rewarding yourself first. And then the other things, it's a pleasure to do the other things sometimes when we reward ourselves first.
And that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of backwards thinking to some. It's always been taught that, you know, if you do your work, then you get a treat. Or if you,
right.
You know, children even, eat all your dinner and then you can have dessert. And I've just flipped that around because I really think sometimes we get so bogged down in the stuff of the day and everything that we have to do that we don't take the time for the true pleasure of our life. So when we take just a moment to do that, maybe first, we'll do the other stuff we'll get done.
So in some ways, at least for me, when I'm cleaning up and getting rid of stuff, that alone is just such... The action of clearing up stuff, in a way, is a treat for me as well, just because it looks better after it's done. But I agree, having the treat before it's always fun and good.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the cleaning out, there's a couple of things that happen when you clean out. First of all, we want new and wonderful things in our life. If we're full, if our space is full, if our emotions are full, if our life is full, we have no room for anything new. So we have all these wonderful things that are waiting to come into our life, but there's no room for them. So we have to clean things up. And sometimes the reward is simply the empty space. And that's really what we needed, was just the empty space. We don't need anything new to come in.
And what do you think that empty space can represent?
Just peace. Just a peace, a calm, just having things as they are. You don't need to add anything new sometimes.
And so you also are a coach, and you use kind of some of the things that you coach are in the book, correct? You do kind
yes.
of... So, do you recommend people read your book before they do coaching with you?
I think it helps them to get some ideas. And my book it's very short. It's about a 3.5-hour read. It's a very simple read. It's written in fun, so there's a lot of, it's sexy and fun and a fun story. If people are going to read the book, I usually suggest read it, just have fun with it, then go back and read it again with a highlighter and a pen so you can make notes and highlight. Then when they do see me, at least they have some idea, perhaps, of where they're going. It's just, I'm hitting on things in the book. So that could be, it's a, maybe an outline, you could put it, for what I'm doing in the coaching. Because when I'm coaching, it's one-on-one. I'm really delving deep into whatever the subject is for them. So it just goes in much more detail. So, yes, I mean, definitely the book would give them a good outline of what I'm about and what it might already put some things in their head and start them in the process.
So now, where can people find your book? Let's get that. They can find it on your website, correct?
On my website right now, yes, at denynorris.com, DennyNorris.com.
Do they send you an email and the money and you send it to them, or is there an e-book copy of it on the website?
There is not an e-book copy, but they can actually order it right on the website. There's a place you can order it and pay for it right on the website, and then it'll be shipped to them. I also do sell them personally at speaking events, and I have the women's group that I run here in Phoenix is actually in Chandler. It's called WOW, W-O-W, World of Women, -AZ, and that's the second Wednesday of each. And if you're interested in doing that, we can also, through my website, you can get a hold of me, and I would love to invite you.
So is the women's group, basically women getting together, is it like a support group or is it a coaching group? What exactly is the women's group about?
It is all of that. I have a subject for the month and I keep it very vague so they don't really know what I'm talking about, but it just kind of is intriguing. And I do a mini coaching session. It's very interactive. I have the women talking. I'll ask a question or make a statement and open it up for people to make comments or ask questions. And then at some point, I will pull someone out of the audience that wants to participate. And we actually really go deep into some little subject and one-on-one. And I ask everyone else to pay attention because this is their life also, because we all have the same emotions. So we get in pretty deep. It also involves a little bit of networking. People have their business there, and some of that goes on as well.
So give an example of a subject that you would have at one of your meetings.
I'm sorry?
Could you tell us a subject?
Okay. The one that we did last month, the topic was true or false. And so I leave it vague. I started out by asking a question of, if I do something for you, I expect something back in return. And the normal response is true. You do something for me, I'm going to do something for you. And really, my answer to that is false.
Mm-hmm.
My whole point of the session was to get people in the act of giving and taking opportunities to help and to give and to serve. When we do that, we get that flow of energy going. And even though I make you 100 times and you don't have anything to give back to me, mine's going to come from somewhere else. So my act is just to give to whoever needs it. And mine will come from wherever it needs it. But I don't really expect it back from the same person.
Right. Now, something that I have heard and actually experienced is you know, you give, and you don't get anything back. And do you think there's a limit or a way of not making it seem like it's just a one-way street? Do you understand what my question is?
Sure. The way that I think of it is, I'm going to give as much as I want to give. So if I don't want to give anymore, then I won't give to you. If I keep giving to you and giving to you and I don't want to, then I just simply stop doing that. Or if I'm expecting something in return from you, then I make an agreement with you. I'm going to do this for you if you'll do this for me. Now that's different. Now we have an agreement. So now
right.
I do expect you to do something because we've made an agreement. But if I'm simply giving then I want my giving to be unconditional. If I don't want to give anymore, then I don't.
Right. And you should feel okay that you're not giving. Because
sure,
I know
because
a lot of people, you know, we're here to serve, so they just
sure.
want to keep giving and giving.
Sure. Because if I'm giving and giving and I feel like perhaps someone's really taking advantage of me, well, they can't do that unless I allow them to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just giving, and then I've set my boundaries, and okay, I'm not going to do that anymore in that area.
Right.
And
then, in a sense, it's possible that these are one of those energy vampires that kind of snuck in there and you didn't realize it.
Absolutely. And that does happen. And it usually is an emotional thing. Someone will ask me questions, and I'm giving of my time or, you know, speaking to them. And pretty quickly I can recover from that now and understand if I'm simply giving or if someone is really sucking the life out of me. It's different because my energy changes. If
right.
my energy isn't positive and loving when I'm giving, then I know I'm not going down the right path.
And that really is a good clue, because these days people really need to understand that the bodies are like the best warning signal for both the positive and the negative. If you're feeling really good about a situation, your energy will go through the roof. If your energy is, you know, lagging, that's something you really need to look into to see if it's really for your highest good to continue doing what you're doing. Something
needs
to switch.
That's exactly how I measure it.
And when did you realize that that's the best way to do it? Or one of the ways to do it, to know how you're doing with a situation or what that person, have you been empathic all your life or has this something you've just realized? I mean, what is your background in the energy and understanding people intuitively?
I have always had the intuitive. I've always had that. I didn't really realize it until, well, it's been several years ago. I don't know the exact point, but I really realized that things came to me and I would be able to instantly help someone. What I really had to set boundaries for was because it came so natural to me that people would say things or do things that it just came natural that I could give back and it seemed that it was what they needed. But then I started feeling the drain on them because I really took things on as my own. So that's where I really had to start setting the boundaries. And I don't remember the precise moment, but I do remember one friend in particular that just was draining every single time I talked to her, and I was exhausted when I got off the phone. She was feeling great, and I was exhausted by the time we were done. So I had to really stop that. But she was getting fed what she needed, but it sucked everything out of me.
So
I don't know the exact moment, but I've always had that desire. Do that.
Cool. And with you know, being a coach, and has there been a really hard discernment lesson that really is something you could share basically to really help people understand more about really accepting and treating themselves with a lot of respect? Because I think a lot of people don't realize that it's okay to respect yourself, especially these days because there's so many people out there wanting something but yet not wanting to be, it's me and it's all about me. They don't want to be a narcissist. Yet at the same time, there is a balance with being with the boundaries and understanding that you stay within those boundaries, and it's okay to stay that way. Do you have something you can share, a story that you can share about finding what your boundaries were?
What was happening with me is I was probably the classic Mark, and I would give and give and give and give and do and do and do, and I realized I would do that, and then I would later resent other people and my family most of all, I think, at one time, that I'm doing all this and you're not. And the response was usually, well, then don't. So I really, after a while, really probably was my best lesson in that, because I learned that I needed to take care of me, and that was okay. My thing is always taking care of everyone else, and I came last. But I take care of me first in a healthy way, not that it's all about me. I still feel, I think, probably better when I'm giving. I feel more blessed when I'm giving. But I don't do that to the point where I'm ever resenting someone. If it's ever a resentful feeling of giving, then I don't go there. Does that answer your question? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
Okay. And I think it's different for each person. So if I coach them through something, we go through some scenarios that they're doing, things that they're living out, and it's different for each person. And I just walk them through, and we walk through the emotions, the feelings, the words they're using, and their thought process when they're doing those things.
Danny, we have a caller. Christina is on the line. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello, Jennifer. Hi, Danny. It's Chris Thompson in Chandler.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking at, you know, your website, Danny, and I was reading through the bulletins, Face Affairs, Complete Your Path, and that one stopped me. And I wanted to call in and ask you to, can you help me complete my path right now, right here on the phone?
I don't know what the issue is, so...
I don't have any issues. So,
well, of course not.
Okay, so complete your path. If you have issues, that's what you mean. You just help people resolve the issues and then get it behind them?
Sure, because what that complete the path refers to is we constantly bring things forward. So we're constantly, I call it living into our past instead of living into our future. So we just keep repeating the same things over and over. We get in the situation, and we use our past experience to get through this situation. It may be entirely different. So
this is where I'm going to bring Jennifer in then, because that Sicilic, that cycle of repetition that always comes forward, If you go into past lives, then we're bringing those forward.
Yes.
So help me tie this in on this dimension and the other dimension, if possible.
You mean the past lives?
Right. So here we are. We're repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Obviously, lesson not learned. Denny's here to help you complete the past.
Right.
And cancel any attachments to it.
Right.
And move forward.
Yes.
And what you really just said was the key is to really break that cycle and let go of the attachment. So that's what I work with you on, is letting go of the attachment to the past. And that's exactly what they are. They've become habits. They've become attachments because it's what's familiar. Not that it's been a great experience, but it's what is the familiar experience. So we attach ourselves to them and hang on for dear life because we know them.
Okay, so give me a simple example of a cycle that should be broken that's part of the past.
Maybe I can give you what comes to mind, first of all, is a physical abuse.
Verbal abuse is even easier and probably more common is the verbal.
Yeah, I mean, any that's just the first that came
right
to mind.
Okay, so someone who is used to verbal abuse, so they accept it as the norm?
That
and they don't realize it's abuse?
It's not that they don't realize that it's abuse. What it happens is it becomes their normal. And they know, they already know that they're going to be, quote unquote, okay when it's over, because they've lived through it so many times that they didn't die and they didn't, you know, they're okay. So I know I can live through that, but if I take a step out of that and I get out of this relationship, I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be, it's all these fears of the unknown are in front of them, where the fear of the physical abuse is less to them because it's familiar. That's a less of a fear than taking a step out into what they have no idea is out there. So they'll stay in that because it's familiar and they know they can live through it.
Doing a 180 step out and releasing that attachment, that victim mentality, when they step back into a relationship, they attract the same thing.
Yes. So what often happens, and this is a perfect example of my life, thinking of relationships that I was in, I started really looking, when I really started looking at my life, I started comparing the men that had been in my life, and yet none of them were alike, so I was really confused. I keep getting in the same cycle, but none of the men are the same. They're different. What I realized was it wasn't that the men were the same. It was that the relationships I was getting in allowed me to play the same role in each relationship, and that was victim. That was my victim role, the martyr.
So you just stepped right into that shoe like it was your favorite bunny slipper.
Oh, absolutely.
So
and then I was in it for a while, and then all of a sudden
the only
same
consistency in those relationships was Denny.
Yes.
Denny was the same consistency.
Yes. Right.
How did you change that, Denny?
Becoming aware of it is the first that I realized what that commonality was. It was my role. And then I had to just walk through steps. And it was one step at a time. And it was learning, first of all, literally in my head, I'm not a victim. And if I am a victim, I don't have to be a victim. But taking the first step out, that's the very first step. And knowing that even though I don't know what's going to happen out there, I will be okay. I'm getting a support group, a support system, friends, family, whatever that is for you, your support system, and just taking that first step, then the next step happens, and the next step, and the next step. That's what keeps us stuck in about everything that we do. We're too overwhelmed with how to get where we want to go, so we stay where we are.
And that's evolution. The same thing.
When we
is
step
evolution.
Out like a magnet, we go right back in like a magnet. We go peep.
But not always. Yeah. I mean, there have been situations where I could see the pattern beginning to start, and then I change it. I stop the situation and alter the way I'm acting, because the only person I can change is me. So if I change me, if I see a pattern developing again and I want to shift it, I've got to shift how I'm acting, what I'm saying, what I'm doing with them. And with that, the pattern will shift, therefore it's different and you grow. That's how you learn, just by, we're all here to experiment. Okay, if that doesn't work, it may seem like a mistake, but in reality, you know that doesn't work, so don't try and do it again. You switch it and try something else instead.
You just said the key, and it's that I'm the one that has to change. And it's so difficult when we see, you know, the way that we look at people is, you know, in my life's miserable, and if he would change and she would change and they would change and they would do things different, my life would be great. But in reality, all it takes is when I change, the world around me changes.
Right.
If people can't react the same to me, if I change the way I act. Everything,
right.
Everything will change. And either if it's people, those people will either start treating me differently, and they will change in my world because the whole relationship will change, or those people will no longer be in my life. So
yes.
If I'm the one who changes, and then my world changes around me.
And it's not always easy to see how you have really started this pattern developing in the first place. And even realizing that was, at least for me, that was an eye-opener, seeing the great setup of that
mm-hmm.
pattern and realizing it's heading that way. And there is times that you just got to walk away because it's like too far into the pattern to really make it work. So I changed myself in such a way to get out of it as quickly and easily so everybody is in a better place. But the great setup, that was something, that was a great dark night of the soul, is to see how people set themselves up to see those patterns. And if they're aware, to really see them. They're ahead of the game for the next time the pattern shows up.
On the next bulletin, it says communicate more effectively. And I was wondering what gold nuggets you can share on radio about communicating more effectively.
I'll give you one here is when I'm speaking to you and I feel I'm reacting to something you say. You say something, the automatic reaction that we want to say is, you made me feel bad, or you hurt me. What I mean by that is, now it can be the same thing, but what I'm the real truth is, when you say that to me like that, I'm really hurt by it. And I know that's about me, but I'm really hurt by that. It's a whole different dynamic. I'm taking responsibility that I'm hurt by that. I'm not blaming you that I'm hurt by that. So it changes the whole communication. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's all in the linguistics of it.
Mm-hmm, it is. And it really is simple communication, but we want to blame someone for our hurt. So you hurt me. Instead of, I'm really hurt by that.
So anytime someone makes you feel uncomfortable, awkward, maybe even angry, it's not them, it's you. It's a mirror of something that's you.
Sometimes it is. You know, I know that that's what's said most of the time. I hear, you know, when I see something bad in you, it's a mirror of me, of somewhere in my life. And I think most of the time that's the truth. I think some of the time it's something standing, because the first thing I do is when I see something in someone or hear someone and I don't like it or I'm uncomfortable around them, I immediately go, what is that in me that I'm seeing? What is that?
Correct.
Sometimes it is, and most of the times it is something in me that I'm seeing. But sometimes it's me seeing, I want to make sure I never do that. So sometimes it truly is
go within and ask yourself the question,
sometimes
what
it truly is
in me
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that reflects that. And then
so that's the, in the behavior
of the attachment, becoming aware of it and then letting it go.
Yes.
Okay.
In or at least let it go, the attachment of it.
The attachment of it. Working through the feelings and the emotions and learning to be able to truly let it go, that sometimes takes time. But just
right.
being aware of it and letting go of the attachment to it, yes.
Your coaching or your group, your women's group, is on the first Wednesday of the month?
The second Wednesday.
Second Wednesday of the month.
From from 11 to 1. Yes.
Oh, in the daytime?
In the daytime.
In Chandler?
In Chandler. It's a luncheon.
Okay. Second Wednesday. I really got to just block my calendar out. Second Wednesday of the month. And cool. Thank you so much for taking my call and answering my questions. And I look forward to hearing the rest of it.
Thank you.
So, okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure. And believe it or not, we only have a few more minutes left. So do you have any upcoming workshops other than your women's group? Do you have anything else coming up that you'd like people to know about so they can find out about it? Or is, you know, all the information on your website that's upcoming events?
I have the women's group coming up right now. I'm going to be putting together a workshop that's going to be probably a maybe a 4 hour on a Saturday, and that's coming up soon. I will post that on my website, and people can email me, denny@dennynorris.com, and that is on the website as well.
So how long has this book been out?
It's been out 2 years now.
Wow. It's a wonderful, it really is a very quick read, though. It's a lot of information. I highly recommend you that people pick it up, give you a call, and get it going. You have such a really positive attitude, and I actually met you, and I'm going to say this briefly, because you buy gold, and I had a gold-selling party, and you came to my house, and it is another aspect of you that is very wonderful. So you help people get rid of the unwanted gold and a little extra cash, and with Money So Tight it is a beautiful way of kind of getting rid of things that, you know, you really don't use and need. It's a great way of cleaning up, getting a little cash, and you also do it for fundraisers, and it is a great way of making money, is to help people come to a party, celebrate the group, bring their gold or silver or platinum and sell it. And if they're really smart, they'll just donate it all to the group that they're supporting. If not, they get a little money in their pocket as well. So I did want to mention that as well. And again,
I appreciate that.
And you do have, do you have information about that on your website, or is there another site they can go, or at least contact you on
that? I don't, but I have a phone number. They can actually email me at denny@dennynorris.com, or I can, my phone number is 480-603-6036. Yeah, that is a great way. It's a great way for everyone to get money, clean out those old bricks. Sometimes old jewelry is bad memories. I get that comment a lot. So, yes, I weigh it and test it and give you money right there on the spot. And we do the parties, and it's nice. The hostess can make several hundred dollars by hosting a party. The fundraiser, we do. And the people still get the money for their gold.
Mm-hmm. It's really, it was wonderful. It was great to meet you. I immediately thought you were awesome and wanted to keep in touch with you. I think it was about, 5 minutes into our conversation I asked you to be on the show?
Yes, yes.
It was pretty quick. It's just like, okay, Spirit says get her on the air to get her message out, because it's awesome, and you have an incredible way of really helping people get through this, you know, really looking at the intimate part of themselves and seeing it's not so bad to let go of the bad stuff and really realize what they're doing to themselves. So with that,
I'd like to add just one thing. Can I add one thing to that? This is not just for women either. Some of my best reviews have been for men. So it is also definitely for men. I just wanted to add
That's why I said people, men and women.
Yeah, it's right.
Most definitely. So check out Denny Norris at DennyNorris.com. She has some great information and ways to get in touch with her and buy her book. And next week, it is, at least for me, at this point, it's little old me next week. If you have a topic you want me to cover, somebody that you want to be on the show, I'm always open to those suggestions. If Spirit says, yeah, that's a good thing. I'm also getting a few people from spiritlibrary.com. Some of their people have said they're interested in being on, so I'm looking forward to that. At least one who is actually in Europe is going to be on the 15th. Yes, 15th of October. That's going to be awesome. That's Alexandria and Dan, and they're, I think, in Czechoslovakia or Croatia. I think it's Croatia. So that's definitely going to be a pre-record just because of the time difference. But until then, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Many blessings. Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with me, it's angelsintuition.com. Till next time, have a great week. Many blessings and good night.